Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
Dr. Caswell was a blessing last week, wasn't he? He's a great friend, just a great all-round person, great academic. Like I said, deputy principal of our college. He's also just a wonderful person to have in the institution. And there's such great developments afoot going forward attached to theological education. So it was wonderful just to have him. And so he started us on Daniel. Like I said last week, it was always my intent to focus on Daniel within the series, because Daniel, along with Joseph, become the epitome of marketplace practitioners who successfully engaged a belligerent environment, thorny, so to speak, antagonistic to divine intent and purpose, and yet thrived. Not just survived, they thrived within the system. And I really want to encourage you all to study the book of Daniel. I will probably release a reading plan by tomorrow to us. I want to encourage you to go to the book methodically, slowly, read it carefully. So you're reading for the next 2 or 3 weeks, personally and privately. I will encourage you, centered around the book of Daniel. It's a marvelous book. Pastor Thamo has also started the series on the End Time Church. I think it's his third session today. I'll track that as well, because he will be referencing some aspects of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and Ezekiel in the teaching. So it's going to be critically important. We, however, will look at it from the perspective of marketplace and workplace. Last week in the service, Dr. Caswell focused on chapter 1 essentially, and from my gathering of your prosecution of the content of that sermon in the house church meetings, it seemed as though the word has gained a very firm footing in our lives. Amen? All the principles he shared have been so challenging. So now, it's an apt word, it's a now word from the Lord. And I will encourage you to take this opportunity, not just to read the book in a casual purview. Don't read it devotionally. Read it investigatively. Probe. Don't adopt a tourist mentality when you read scripture. You must adopt the mentality of a miner searching for gems, a scuba diver plummeting the depths to unearth the things that God has hidden. And the things that God has hidden will not be made known to the non-searcher. It's only to the searcher that God reveals the gems, the valuable or the invaluable things on his heart. Nebuchadnezzar took captive certain, I call them elite men, from Judah, from Jerusalem, the city, right? And he, together with others, they were held captive in a Babylonian system for at least 70 years. That was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. When you study Daniel, by the time you get to chapter 9, you will read a verse like this. I, Daniel, understood by the books of what the Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah. That's a key to studying Daniel, because Daniel understood all of Jeremiah's writings. He understood by the books. His understanding did just not come from the air. He was a prophet himself, obvious when you read the book. Daniel's a prophet. More than a prophet, he was a student of prior prophecies. And he knew how to position himself now based upon what God said previously. Right? And he knew times and seasons. He knew when this 70-year season was coming to an end and what posture he should adopt near that end. For him, it was prayer and fasting and seeking God with all his heart. Daniel is another kettle of fish altogether. He's just in a class of his own, I think. There are a lot of parallels between him and Joseph. Not so. Between him and Joseph. Both functioned in royal courts. Both could interpret dreams, visions. Both rose to prominence. I think Daniel is the second Joseph. You step back from God's macro purpose and look at the overarching outrolling of God's macro plan. You can see that he's simply part of a broad continuum of God's using of persons throughout history to accomplish his purpose. No doubt he would have known of Joseph, right? He would have been schooled in how a person can function prominently in kingly courts. He had standard, he had a history, he had something to lean back on, he had something to refer to. His experience was not new. And I want to encourage this house. Everything God is going to lead you into, he has done before. For you, what you should do, like Daniel, study the books. Study the book, the Bible. It's going to give definition to how God will use you going into the future. Jesus, it says of him, I have come, I'm quoting the prophecy, I have come to do thy will, O my God. Right? In the book it is written concerning me. Right? In the book it is summed up concerning me. In the scroll, some versions say, it is written concerning me. Now that psalm was written prophetically of the Lord Jesus. Everyone say, in the book. In the book or in the scroll, it is written or summed up concerning me. Even the Lord Jesus, although he was the Logos, the eternal word, made flesh. In human flesh and blood terms, he had to study the text to find himself in the scriptures. Because in the book, it is written concerning me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Everything about your life futuristically, God has already encoded in blueprints, in cameos, if you would, in veneers, in blurs sometimes. You are referenced. You are recorded. I think any space you find yourself functioning in, you can always find a biblical basis that will guide your steps when you are in it. The Bible is full of examples of how to live successfully in literally any domain of life. So tell your neighbor, find yourself in the text. So Daniel, let's get back to Daniel. Remember, his name was changed to Belteshazzar. Daniel means God is my judge, as you know. And Belteshazzar means that Marduk, the Babylonian deity, Bel protect the king. So as Dr. Caswell taught us, there was an attempt by the Babylonian system to subtly change accountability to God, to serving the empire. A service or loyalty to a system which by definition is antagonistic to the ways of God. There is a YouTube video I will insist that you listen to if you haven't listened to it yet. Matthew, my son, about 4 or 5 months back, did a teaching at the church where he's in Cape Town presently called 10 Times Better. That's the title of his sermon, 10 Times Better. He extracted it from Daniel 1, remember? Where after refusing to eat the king's food and drink, after 10 days, they were fatter, right? But then also in all matters of learning and understanding, knowledge and wisdom, they were found to be 10 times better than the wisest that Babylon had to that Babylon had to offer. But in there, and I'm referring you to it because I don't want to waste time to lay some of the critical foundation. I think he did a brilliant job at that. People say, I'm too confusing. Matthew is easier, they say. I tell the story of Papa Carl Saunders. We were in Zambia, Lusaka, and we were having dinner. And while we were having dinner, Matthew sent me a study of his via audio. I immediately sent it to Papa Carl Saunders. Right? We went to, I said, listen, if you have the time, my son just sent me this. Just maybe it will bless you. So we went to our hotel rooms and we slept. And we came back for breakfast the next morning. He said, Brother Randolph, you know how Papa talks. Brother Randolph. Because he's on my broadcast list. From today, don't send me any of your teachings. Just send me Matthew's. He was jibing, but he was making a point. He's saying he speaks with such clarity and understanding. But there Matthew unpacks in the first half of his sermon, Babylon. Everyone say Babylon. Babylon. What is Babylon? What is its agenda? What is its motive? And Matthew went from explaining Babylon in three sweeps. First, as a tower, a bubble, the Tower of Babel, right, where it started under Nimrod, who is first described in Scripture as the greatest man, right? And then from a tower, where God had to confuse their languages because they were wanting to build a tower that will reach heaven. It's full of pride, it's full of arrogance, it's antagonistic. It came soon after the flood. And instead of fulfilling the mandate to go and multiply and replenish the earth, they chose to gather at a center. God confused the languages so that they couldn't understand each other. Confuse is a seriously important word. Notice my terminology. God decided to confuse. What does Babylon mean? Confusion. Right? God decided to confuse the languages, and so they dispersed. They couldn't understand each other. And they could not fulfill the project. And then Babylon became a city, right? Babylon was this massive empire that spanned most of the then known world. So it was a tower, then a city, and then became a system, okay? It even occurs in the book of Revelation where there are woes given to Babylon. God is still addressing Babylon in the book of Revelation. And the cry of the prophets is, come out from among her. Don't partake of her lawless deeds. Right? We must divorce ourselves from Babylon. The prophets consistently cry, Babylon, Babylon is fallen. It will fall. And Daniel chapter 2 shows you how. Right? So don't be, to use a colloquial, dwas. Remember, I used to use dwas. My mother used to use that on me a lot. Randolph, you dwas. Like, don't be clueless. Don't be unaware. Don't function in the world not being fully au fait with what you are contending with. The world system will eat you up. God will bless you, but if you are not careful, blessing can slowly degenerate to curse. Breakthrough can result in breakdown. At the height of your victory, you can start a process of demise if you're not fully aware of Babylon's intent. Okay? So tell your neighbor, open your eyes. Come on. You know, my biggest fear here, God's going to bless you in the marketplace. No doubt. But my biggest fear is the blessing will cause pride. That's Babylon's intent. Tower of Babel stands erect. In defiance against heaven, we will reach heaven. Right? My biggest fear is that we come into tremendous success, and because of pride and the absence of humility and the unawareness of the devil's schemes, we fall prey to his agenda and slowly swallowed up into a world that we should not be. Accommodation. Dr. Caswell said this. Accommodation slowly degenerates to assimilation. Remember he said that? One small compromise here and one small compromise there. You slowly push the boundaries and start to adjust principles. The slight accommodation becomes wholesale assimilation. When he said that, my mind immediately went to Lot. Remember when he separated from Lot, he positioned his tent towards Sodom. Accommodating Sodom in his view, that city, that culture swallowed him up. We have many takeaways from last week's lesson. And when I peruse the overview of all the house church leaders, the summation of last week's teaching, I was absolutely blessed and amazed to see you cover most of the pertinent principles. If you ask me, what was the main thing? I mean, I'm blessed by the entirety of the thing, right? A lot of it dovetails with notes that I've prepared already. I was challenged on many fronts, but if you want to ask me, Randolph, what was your greatest takeaway from last week's sermon? It was a statement Dr. Caswell said. He said that learn to starve yourself so that the system doesn't starve you. And then I think later in his prayer, he said it slightly different. He said, learn to starve yourself so that the system doesn't starve you and hence controls you. Right? What did Daniel do? He refused to eat the king's food and drink, remember? What is he saying? He's saying, I starve myself, it's a kind of a fast, not really a fast, as he said. He said, I starve myself of feeding off a system which by their feeding will ultimately control me. Right? What you feed on controls you. Tell your neighbor what you feed on controls you. Right? And it's very important, for example, to adopt a system of fasting, actual fasting in your Christian experience. I will encourage this house fast at least once a week. And every time we call a corporate fast of 3 or 4 days at a time, engage it fully. Also, beyond those times, everyone should discern privately and personally. When is God asking you to have an extended fast personally without telling anybody? We have to inform everybody of corporate fasts because that's the nature of the fast is corporate. But you should at times go on a personal fast when you feel the leading of the Lord. When? And why is this so important? You know what it does? Besides enhancing your spirit sensitivity, it's like your spirit antenna are heightened. There's an awareness that you have that goes beyond the natural. Fasting shuts the eyes of the natural man, and it opens the eyes of the spirit man. You're more aware of spirit realities when you fast than you are usually without the fast. It has a way of teaching you to see beyond seeing. I love what Lisa Bevere, if I can quote her correctly, she said once, a diet changes the way you look, but a fast changes the way you see. Right? A diet will change the way you look, right? Maybe tell your neighbor, do you need a diet? I'm just joking. A diet changes the way you look, but a fast changes how you see. Right? One of her famous quotes. She has an excellent book, by the way, on fasting, which you should buy and read if you want to upgrade your knowledge in reference to fasting. Besides that, besides enhancing your spirit antenna, what it will teach you is discipline. Everyone say discipline. It teaches you to say no, for example, to food. You're doing something natural. I'm saying no to food. But that is simply a natural phenomenon of a greater spirit discipline. Daniel is saying no to ideology. When he's saying no to choice king's food, royal food, and royal wine, he is saying no to Babylon's principles. He's saying no to Babylon's values. He's saying no to Babylon's agenda. Dr. Caswell said, you are what you eat, okay? What you take in defines you. What you take in configures you. So the word of God is likened unto bread. The word of God is also likened unto wine. When you eat the bread and the wine of the word of God, you get configured to see the world differently. But it builds you up into a stature of spirituality that is very necessary for you to oppose Babylon in its agenda. So, for example, let's say you feed consistently on pornography. What feeds you kills you if it's the wrong thing, right? And remember food, everyone say food. Remember the Ashpenaz, or I forget the other royal, I don't think his name, the other royal official that was in charge of them. The Bible says, would isolate what the NASB calls a daily rations. Everyone say daily rations. And daily rations means breakfast, lunch, and supper 3 times a day. And you've been trained and schooled in our universities for 3 years. The patterns of threes, if you look closely throughout chapter 1 and 2, right? I feed you daily rations. The dailiness of the rations, the regularity of them 3 times a day, its routine is designed to have a system whereby you're constantly fed without interruption. Everyone do this. It's like your everyday king's food, choice wine, education in our universities over 3 years. The system is designed to, with sustained regularity, to wear you down. And what you feed off with perpetuity will eventually either make you or break you. Small accommodations, like I said, small compromises, become huge strongholds over a period of time. So don't tell lies, for example, and call it white lies. I don't know who concocted that concept. You know, legitimate lies. A small lie, yeah, and you might think it's something light. It's not consequential to my salvation. It won't impact me dangerously. Please, this is a warning. I don't know why I haven't even started the teaching yet. This is a warning to us all. Slow accommodations of compromise in various areas subtly erode one's spiritual strength and stature in God. My big takeaway was that statement from last week. God said to me, Randolph, if you are going to have the power of Daniel, learn the profile of Daniel. Don't want his power without his profile. And when you look at the profile of the man, what is there? Here's a man in the first chapter. That's why chapter 1 is so foundational. Here's a man in the first chapter who learned the art of saying no to this, no to that. His personal purity, I believe, was the very basis for his prosperity later on. His personal purity was the foundation for his later promotions. It's foundational to his prosperity, it's foundational to his promotion, and it's foundational to his purpose. I'm using alliteration here, as you can see, right? His general overarching well-being is all found in the first chapter of his book, right? And I really want to encourage you, learn to starve the flesh. Serious. Say no. And some of us, before we know it, we're into it. Before you know it, you're there, and you know you shouldn't be, but you're there. You know why? It has become every day. It becomes so routine, so much the order. It's now axiomatic or automatic. It is even reflexive, and you do it sometimes. Only after 5 minutes you realize, I'm sinning here. But my problem is, you are swept into it, and the realization that it's wrong came after the fact that now you are in it and it's wrong. Remember, Daniel was different. Daniel resolved. Remember? He purposed in his heart that he will not eat. And many of you commented on this in your house churches. I saw how that the external temptation met up with an already established internal position in him. He did not wait to be swept up in it and only after day three realized we're eating the wrong food here. I will, from the incipient stages, say no, right? And now this is a serious warning to this house. Let me say what I feel prophetically. This house is going to be a Daniel in the spirit. Mark my words. Like I said, we cannot have his power or his capacity, propensity, if you want another P. We can't have the propensity of Daniel or the possibilities locked up in Daniel without copying every aspect of his profile. And one of the fundamental things, he was only 17 years old when we read chapter 1, by the way. We're not talking about an adult here. We're talking about a young man who knew exactly his future. Right? And he realized, if I'm going to... Joseph, by the way, was also about 17 when he was sold. Right? Both chapters reference both gentlemen starts in the second year. In the second year. God lifts them up to significant promises. Both gentlemen pass personal purity tests. Remember? Joseph said no to Potiphar's wife's advances. He learns to starve himself so that the system that feeds him cannot control him. Right? He learns the art of saying no. He learns the art of distancing himself from temptation. He did not even stay in the house and say, let me see how far I can resist her. No, he balegged. He kicked down, if you want a Greek word. Okay. He left the building. He said, I remove myself physically from this environment that's designed to kill me. Right? Remember, he left the building, unfortunately, left his coat. He should have took the coat and gone. Left his mantle. Okay? If anything that we're going to build up upon in prosecuting Daniel going forward, it's going to be profound. Who's excited about probing Daniel? Remember, the word means God is my judge. Jerusha noticed that only the others are called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azrael, and what's the other guy? Azariah. But Daniel's always called Daniel, except for one or two occasions when they say Daniel, which they name Belteshazzar. It's later on in the chapters. It's almost like, I think, Jerusha asked the question, and my thoughts were running when she did. I think more than others, while the book is named after him, he plays a more central role than the other three friends, right? But more than the others, I think he was the one who set the standard and the bar for them. You need to set the standard and your bar for your friends that are like-minded like you are. This house is called, and I speak prophetically. I haven't even started the message today. I speak prophetically to all of you. Become so prominent in God's eyes. Please, you can write this down if you wish, but this must be your quest. Become so prominent. When I say prominent, this is not for personal aggrandizement or pride or arrogance. No, I am saying become such a leader in your mastery and your exhibition of spiritual things, concepts, character, principles, that it becomes impartible to those closest to you. Never must it be said of you that because of look who he hangs out with, that is his result. It must be said of you that because you are there, the infectious nature of your grace proliferates and pervades everyone in your world. Gavin, in your family and amongst your friends, you must be a standard of influence. Seek that. Make that your goal. Make that your ambition. Say, God, I want the Daniel grace. Daniel was an infector of spiritual values. It did not initially start with Babylon. It started with friends closest to him. Later on, you will see in chapter 2, when he wanted to know the dream and the interpretation, two things. That's why I think he was, in some respects, better than Joseph. Because Joseph, at least, Pharaoh told him his dream, remember? Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar said, firstly, let me test you, brother. Well, I test all my magicians. He called his wisest men, diviners, conjurers, magicians, soothsayers, some texts say. There's four descriptors of categories of people mentioned that he called from every quarter of his kingdom. That means globally, from India, everywhere he brought them. And he put them in a meeting and he said, now all of you guys, tell me what I dreamt and what's the interpretation. If you can't, everybody dies today. And in fact, Arioch, you will call another general, a Babylonian general. Arioch will go throughout the entire province, killing all the magicians. I want answers today. Right? I want answers today. And obviously they could not probe, but Daniel could. How did Daniel do it? Daniel didn't do it on his own. The Bible says very specifically, he asked for time. He says, give me some time, please. He begged the king. Because he was considered a wise man, and every wise man is dying that day. And he said, give me some time. Daniel, first thing he did, he went to his friends. He said, we have a problem here. The Bible says, jointly, corporately, they called on the name of the Lord. In your greatest crisis, make sure you have friends that know how to consult heaven. Where you run to, make sure you have a company of people. It should be these people in this house primarily. You have a company, a household of faith, a sense of community that can call upon God on your behalf and give you heaven solutions for the current crisis that you are in. Daniel proves he's not isolationist. He's not individualistic. He's not in this to make a big name for himself. He doesn't think, wow, this is my golden opportunity. Lock myself away, pray, consult heaven. I'm generally of faith with Jeremiah's writings. I've got all the arsenal I need. Let me impress the king. No, he's got shared responsibility. Everyone say shared responsibility. That's why I stress love in the first part of the service. If we're not going to love each other, can I run to Mark or to anybody, to Solon, to Quinton? Can I run to Aaron, right, or Brad's or Salvin, or any one of you? Can I go to Jody and say, Jody, there's a current crisis in my marketplace. Please remember, he's not in church here. He's in the marketplace, right? Context is very important. There is a crisis. My leader has had this perplexing dream that he knows is a word from God. God gave it to him. He's so perplexed by it, he cannot sleep. He's out of his mind. And the wisdom of the system that he leads cannot give him answers. The magicians and the wise men of Babylon don't know a thing. The system that the leader leads, think about what's going on here. The very system that he built up for all those years and now he's giving leadership to, in a moment of crisis, what he built cannot answer him. It's like every door of knowledge is shut. And this king knows, I dreamed a dream. And I know it's something very important for me now and even for the future. But Daniel and his friends collectively, everyone say collectively. This is not someone on a mountain praying on his own. These are friends. You see, we often sing, there were three men in the fire. And we sing fire. And we hit the Cape Town, Jova. And we, Renee sent me a lovely video of Caleb yesterday imitating the other Cape Townians dancing. He was having a ball of a time. You know, Caleb got the moves. A ball of a time in the lounge. We love to sing these rhythmic moving emotional songs. I like it as well. Please don't get me wrong. But those three men in the fire knew how to consult heaven. When the chips are down, some of us are so adept. And please, this is, it's not a, I'm not being hard. It's just an observation. Some of us are so adept at many things, but we can't spend, test yourself. You can't spend 10 minutes praying. Your mind is scattered left, right, and center. In fact, simply to sit and not do anything and talk to God is a lost art today. But we can sit 90 minutes and watch a soccer game, no problem. I am saying, values out of sync. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I will be watching from semi-finals, quarter-finals, semi-finals on. I did catch up with the games I've lost. But I'm never going to put sport above my God. Never. You try and rival my God, you will lose every time. I will never put a priority of a soccer game versus a prayer meeting. You will lose. Because you are Babylon and I will starve you. Because you will not control me. Because when the chips are down, it's not my expertise as to which names in every team I know and their value. When the chips are down, it's can I consult heaven and get answers? Yeah? Again, please don't hear what I'm not saying. Everyone say become adept at prayer. Can you hear my heart? Yeah? Become adept at prayer. Because like I'm saying, don't even go into this World Cup being blind. There is an agenda of Babylon. It's a Babylonian system that designs to captivate, wholly captivate minds, captivate time, captivate conversations, captivate energies. And we are clueless as to there's an agenda here that we are sucked wholesale into. Again, I have to say this. Don't hear what I'm not saying because I will also be watching. But all I'm saying is, I'm thoroughly aware of if there's a kingdom priority, that will lose every time. Because that is not eternal. But God's word is eternal. Yeah? That is not forever. But God's word endures forever. Okay? Again, Ash, let me pick on you. Not you personally. I'm just using an example, right? You know my heart. You know I love you, right? Make sure. Just checking. Ash, let's say you watch every game. How many games are there, by the way? I don't even know. Total? Anybody? I know you're scared to say something now because you say, oh, He knows how many games, but he can't quote one scripture. X amount of games times 90 minutes plus overtime, plus halfway. You're going to spend more than 2 hours, I think, watching something. How about just 10%? Give a tithe. Give 10% of their time and say, well, I'll study the book of Daniel. I'll probe, I'll pray, I'll develop my spirit capacity, not my soccer capacity. Spirit AI, not AI, spirit I, spirit intelligence, SI, everyone say SI, SI, and don't come to me and say soccer I, no, it's the other spirit I, all right? It's the other spirit I. So, time has run, I want to read it, let's get to the chapter. I can't have much to say now, but we got weeks to go. Let's read it for the record. Everyone open up to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Amen. In the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Everyone say dreams. So it's not one, it's multiple. I always say details are important, right? And his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. The king gave orders to call in the magicians, conjurers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. Chaldeans are the wisest men in his empire, to tell the king his dreams. So the four categories of people there, we won't go into them now because of time. Let me just read the story and make one or two comments. When I read this story, I'm reading it into the record of this house. I'm lodging it in as a witness in the Spirit over us. So please open your heart as you read. If the Lord says, speaks to you as I'm reading, make a note of it. I might not comment on it, but you make a note. You listen. God, what are you saying to this house? Right? So they came in and they stood before the king. The king said to them, I had a dream and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. So here we have an unseated leader of a Babylonian empire, right? A world system that is characterized by confusion. Babylon means confusion. Strictly speaking, even make the note of this, Babylon means confusion by mixture. Confusion by mixture. The strain of purity is taken out. There's dilution, compromise, assimilation, right? I'll explain that later. Okay, the Chaldeans, they're the first to speak. The Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. Oh, king, live forever. They realize they're in serious trouble, right? Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. Think about how solidly this authoritatively Nebu, I call him Nebu, is talking here, right? Think Nebu he's anxious, the guy can't sleep, he's perplexed, he knows this is seriously important for the future of this kingdom. And I'm calling all of my wisest men here. So the command is firm. If you do not make known the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. Right? Now he's talking about dismemberment of the body. Everyone say limb from limb. That means your body will not be functional. What's he saying? You're going to lose functionality. You're going to lose purpose in my kingdom. I'm interpreting this metaphorically. You're going to lose value, significance, because you will not have relevance anymore. I will tear you limb from limb. And your houses will be a rubbish heap. It's gone. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. Which of you would have loved to be one of these conjurers or magicians or wise men under this guy's leadership? And by the way, the Babylonians were known for firm, high-handed, autocratic, very dictatorial, almost harsh, what they call iron-like leadership. Right? And they answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants and we will declare to you the interpretation. Verse 7, the king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time. This guy, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. He says, you're playing for time here. Inasmuch as you've seen that the command from me is firm. The king, that you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I might know that you can declare to me its interpretation. He's very clear here. He's saying to them, because he knows them, he says, you guys only want to know the dream. You can manufacture up some kind of interpretation. I can't prove your validity or not. So I lay a fleece or a test before you. You tell me the dream and its interpretation. Right? The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth. Now this is critical to understand Daniel, because there is a man on earth. But their view is there's absolutely nobody. There's not a man on the earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has even asked anything like of this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. It's like they say, you know, not so many words, you are being unrealistic. We must know the dream and its interpretation. You're the dreamer, not us. But he's responsible. You're the wisest. You consult the unseen realms of the of the spiritual world. You should know these things. That's what the expectation was. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. There's no one. Everyone say there's no one. And this, I think, for me, verse 11 is the most important chapter or verse in this whole chapter. Read it carefully. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. Everyone say it's difficult. Let me just say this to you. Marketplace is going to become difficult. The world's going to become more difficult. Leaders are going to be perplexed with problems for which they do not have solutions. The difficulty level is going to escalate even at NGEN, right? And the king's going to have dreams unsolvable. But he's going to need sons of God in the system, right? That are connected to the heavens. And even when something is seeming highly impossible from a natural perspective, please hear my heart, hear the Lord's heart today. God is saying for this house and everybody under the sound of my voice, there's going to come a wisdom from the heavens. You will see it in your school. The school will be like having a perplexing problem here. And even the principal might have unsettling dreams. Not dreams, but the mind is disoriented, lost for solutions. Now, please, we've been talking marketplace for 17 sessions. This is about 18 or 19. I can't remember now. Now the you've been adequately positioned. Now there's going to come a Daniel grace upon all of you that's going to rise up to the problems and the crises that God is going to permit in your context, because you are going to be known as the problem solver in your world. You can write that down as a word. You're going to be a problem solver in your world, and a thing that perplexes. In other words, they'll actually say there's not a man on the earth that can get us out of this one. But God has got his Daniel in the system. God has got his Daniel in education, in commerce, in politics, right? In sport, in leisure, in every domain, there's a Daniel, there's a Joseph in the system. Repeat this after me. Say, I can solve problems. Come on. Say it again. I can solve problems in Christ. I don't want you to recede and push back when a crisis presents. If you don't have the solutions and you have friends that you can pray with, and you say, let's consult God. You have a church that you can come to and say, let's find the mind of God as to this dilemma. God's going to give us marketplace solutions that will ultimately promote us, like it promoted Joseph, like it promoted Daniel. It's going to happen, church. There's no one else who could declare to the king. Now, watch this. I said this is the most important verse. Who does this answer vest with, according to these magicians? They said, except it's not mortal. Mortal man cannot probe this. The answer to this rests with the gods. Now, they are like a polytheistic, pluralistic society. They serve many gods. So hence the plural gods, small g. And here is the statement that grabs me. Whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. The gods have this wisdom, but here's the problem, King. The gods don't dwell with humans. Except there is a God that has chosen to be Emmanuel, God with us. Little do they know that the God that Daniel serves is not transcendent only. He's not a faraway God. He's a God that comes close. He's actually a God that has chosen mortal flesh as his habitation. So by their own voicing, they're telling the king who to look for. You can't find it in any of the gods that Babylon serves, because our gods don't dwell with us humans. If the solution lies in the divine, we got to define some expression of the divine that is thoroughly compatible with a human being. Notice my words. An expression of the divine. Everyone say expression of the divine. Say thoroughly compatible with a human being. Now we know that the, we know, where is this? we know the answer to this dream lay with God. But here is, God is looking for compatibility with the human. God is saying, can I offload this to somebody? There is a human in whom a divine being can rest. By my spirit, I can dwell in this man, and all the secrets that are mine to give can be his. If I were you, I'll start fasting tomorrow. I say, God, I want the Daniel dimension. Everyone say the Daniel dimension. And I say, start fasting, but go on a life, let it be a feature of your life long term. Adopt this disposition where, and please mark my words, codes are going to be given to sons of God in this house. Secrets are going to be given to those that keep themselves unspotted, unstained, unpolluted from the Babylonian system. You cannot solve Babylon's problems by being fed by Babylon's principles. You have to stand outside of them, feed on principles from God your Father. Please mark my words. The Daniel possibility is going to become normal. This is not going to be a far-fetched story, uncopyable in our time, undoable in our time. We read things concerning John, I was caught up in the third heaven. These things are going to become normal. Pastor Thalmo is prosecuting these things now, and I'm hearing my Father, and I'm saying, this is the ideal time for us to probe these things. You cannot function, even if you're a nurse in a hospital, you cannot function without the Spirit of the Lord. Even if you are a mechanic, you sweep the streets, you can do the most mundane or the most highly skilled thing, you cannot function without the Spirit of the Lord. And He's going to give us uncanny solutions to serious problems. Let me just read this. Time is gone and I've got 3 minutes. Because of this, I'll try not to comment. Very hard, but let's try. Because of this, the king became indignant, very furious, and he gave orders to destroy all the wise men in Babylon. How is that? You're killing your wisdom in the whole empire that you built up all these years. The decree went forth and the wise men should be slain. And they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them because they considered now as part of the entourage of the wisest. Because remember, they 10 times. If these magicians are failing, there are 4 guys that are 10 times better than them. So like they're first on the list. Call these brothers. Daniel replied, I like this, with discretion and with discernment. He's not an old man, he's a young boy. Eh? He hasn't reached 20 yet. To Arioch, captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So Arioch has got this commission, kill everybody. So he goes, Daniel approaches him with, I like this, wisdom and discretion. He is not quick on the draw. He's calculated. I just like Daniel's, like, he's like Jesus. Eh? I mean, they try to trick. He's like cool. He's walking. He's wise. He's slow. He's calculated. He's thoughtful. He's prayerful. He's got praying friends. A threat on his life comes. And he says to Arioch, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. Right? So Daniel went in and requested from the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. I like this. It's saying, I'm coming back with answers. Give me some time, maybe, maybe not. It's like, you wait. I just need a little bit of time. I've got some friends to talk to first. And let's pray. I'm coming back to you with the interpretation. Now, what did the king want? The dream and the interpretation. If Daniel says, I'm coming back with interpretation, Daniel's already at the end of the process. He's already like at the end of a process. Because you can't interpret something you don't know. Daniel went to his house. I like this. Remember, Lydia's house was connected to God's house. Right? And we went through all the houses, all the stories we did. Daniel's house had a window that was open to Jerusalem. And the boy from his earliest days prayed. 3 times a day. This is Daniel 6:10. You'll find the scene. Right? He prayed 3 times a day. When you say Daniel's house, I think Lydia's house. Wow. I think he has a house connected to the house of God in Jerusalem. And he's going to have workplace success in Babylon because his house is connected to God's house. Never ever disconnect from God's house. Amen. It's so great to see so many. I want to encourage you, be faithful in your Sunday morning diligent attendance. The house of God is very important for your success out there. Daniel went to his house. By the way, you'll find this a lot in the book of Daniel. And Daniel went home. And Daniel went to his house. Right? The house is a safe environment where you get perspective of many things. So that they might request compassion. I like this. What was the prayer thrust of Daniel and his friends? What are they asking God for? Notice, not primarily for the interpretation of the dream. Their heartbeat is, God, be merciful to us. I am appealing to the compassion of God, the God of heaven concerning this mystery. So Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. I like this. Night vision. Check Daniel's response. Doesn't get up and go rushing to the king. Takes his time to further talk to God. He's just got the dream and he's got the interpretation. I just like this. I can picture the boy. His hands, shoo, up. And he blesses the God of heaven, not the gods of Babylon. This phrase is very important because it superimposes in a supreme dimension the God of the heaven over the gods of and the systems of knowledge in Babylon. Let's go on, verse 20. Daniel said, the writer of the text takes the time to record Daniel's prayer after he got the answer. Let the name of God be blessed forever. I like this. You must, when you read this, just focus on this prayer. But let the name of God be blessed forever. For wisdom and power belongs to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. When you understand the dream and the interpretation, you will understand why he's saying this. You change times and epochs. You even remove kings and you establish kingdoms. He's subtly saying, this Babylon empire is posing and as big and as frontal and as glorious by natural standards as it seems to be, is under the management of heaven. God establishes kingdoms and he tears them down. And he gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. There's a whole lesson in that. Let's go on. It is he who reveals the profound and the hidden things. That's why I want to encourage you. Pastor Thomas has been saying this a lot recently. In almost every single time he says, God is unlocking the hidden things. Mysteries are being known to the sons of God. He knows what is in darkness and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers. So he connects his present reality with historic past, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he's connecting. I give thanks and I give praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and he spoke to him as follows. Now, I like Daniel's. He doesn't rush to the king and say, here's the deal. He goes to the one killing wise men. That's his priority. He's trying to save as many people as possible. He's corporately minded. He loves the brotherhood, right? He's corporately minded. He loves the brotherhood. And he spoke to him as follows, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. There's a question mark there. He's authoritative. Do not destroy them. Take me to the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Arioch hurriedly, even say hurriedly, brought Daniel into the king's presence, and he spoke to him as follows. I have found a man from the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, diviners are able to declare to the king. He reminds the king, your systems are deficient. However, there is a God. I just like this. He's saying you have flawed systems here, but there's a God in heaven. Say this loud with me. Say, there is a God in heaven. I have a prophetic impression. Daniel's name means God is my judge. A judge comes in to settle matters. God's going to rise up now in judgment over this house. It's not a judgment that is punitive or judgmental. It's a judgment where God is going to exonerate and declare innocent and validate you in the workplace as his son. Right? Please, you must just hold that in your heart. It's going to happen. You will see it. God, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the... He's saying this is going to happen in the last days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you were on your bed. I just like his confidence. Let me give you the lowdown here, king. This is what you dreamed. Verse 29. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. He's saying, this is the future of your kingdom. Let me lay it out for you. As for me, notice everyone say humility. I love Daniel's humility. As for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me. He's saying, I don't have it. If God did not reveal this to me, this is not Daniel talking. Right? But for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, that you might understand the thoughts of your mind for your benefit. You, O king, he tells him, you were looking, right, in this dream. You were beholding, and there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold. Notice the detail. Its arms silver, its belly and its thighs bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Daniel's very specific. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands. Everyone say, cut out without hands. That's divine activity. No human can. A stone here represents the kingdom of God and the church. And it struck the statue on its feet. Remember, the feet were the most vulnerable, clay and iron. Right? Right? Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time. The stone struck the feet, the whole statue comes down. It became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. Like chaff is the stuff that the wind just carries away, easily transportable. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. Dan, that's why you've got to read Daniel together with Revelation, which Pastor Thamo will do. But you are peering into the future. It might seem small now, but it has the power to depose kingdoms, our kingdom, and it's going to become the most established, a great mountain. Right? Tell your neighbor you're in the right kingdom. So, and he says, okay, this was the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation before the king. Right? You, O king, you are king of kings. That's literally, naturally. To whom the God of heaven has given kingdom, power, strength, and glory, right? And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand, and he has caused you to rule over them. You are the head of gold. Interpretation. Babylon is represented by the gold in the image. After you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you. That will be the Medo-Persian kingdom, right? History will bear testimony to this. And then another kingdom will rule the... then a third kingdom of bronze. That will be Greece. Right? Greece was known for its bronze armor, even literally. Everything was bronze, right? Which will rule all the earth, right? Then there will be a fourth kingdom. Everyone say a fourth kingdom. Which will be as strong as iron. That will be the Roman Empire. The Roman kingdom was the last of a series of kingdoms, one taking the position of the previous one each time. And do you know that iron was a great symbol of Roman artillery and imagery, right? Now, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and it will break all these other kingdoms in pieces. And history testifies to this. That is exactly how Rome rose to prominence. There was no greater empire, kingdom, than the Roman Empire. And Jesus was born in that system. Jesus waited for this thing to reach its height. And he says, you'll see what a stone can do. And at his second coming, it'll be even worse. And now, in that you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. So it already starts to prophesy the divisions within the Roman Empire. If you're a student of history like me, you will love these things. This is like fascinating. For me, I'm always amazed. God, you knew this all along. It's like everything is in your management. A divided kingdom. But it will have in it the toughness of iron, as much as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. As for the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly pottery, so the kingdom will be strong and a part will be brittle. Roman history, if you know it, testifies to very strong parts and very weak, vulnerable dimensions that make the whole economy, the whole empire, vulnerable. In that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men. But they will not adhere. Try take clay and make it coalesce with iron. Right? Daniel is saying, he's interpreting this whole thing, he's saying, just like these two things cannot be one, even as iron does not combine with pottery or clay, Verse 44 quickly. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will have no end. We sing the song from here. That kingdom will never be destroyed. Right? Daniel must have wrote that song, I'm certain. I think Darlene Chick just got the revelation. Whoever was the songwriter. Will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush that stone. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, including Rome, but it itself will endure forever. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're in the kingdom? Come on. This, when I read this, God, you saved me. You put me here into this kingdom. It's going to crush everything else. Daniel, hundreds of years before, he's seeing our present day. He's got prophetic sight, and he's seeing this. Okay, let's end this. Verse 45. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out from the mountain without hands, that's the kingdom, it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. How's that for confidence? Daniel just says it like it is. He says, you can't even challenge me on this. This is true. My dream interpretation is also facts. It is trustworthy. What's he telling the king? You're not going to last forever, bro. You head of gold. You Babylon coming down. If I was the king, I would lock the guy up straight away. You false prophet, you. What the king does. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell on his face and he's paying homage, bowing to. Can you imagine our king paying homage to Daniel? And he gave orders to present to him the offering and the fragrant incense. Hey, Daniel was smiling that day. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods, because they serve gods in Babylon, and a lord of kings, present kings and future ones, and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. Look at the promotion. Everyone say ascendancy. I call this little next few weeks marketplace ascendancy. God's going to start to anoint. Remember last week, Job 36:7? He sprinkles the, he anoints the righteous with kings. The king promoted Daniel. Everyone say promotion. And he gave him great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. How's that? He's a young man ruling everybody. And chief prefect. Those of you who are chief prefects at school, this is nothing to what this guy is he's managing. Right? I was head boy. That's got nothing to do with his headship here. Over the all the wise men of Babylon, every wise man must account to Daniel now. Right? See his stature, his profile. This is a marvelous thing. Watch this. He doesn't ascend alone. Those that took the time to pray with him come with him. Do not underestimate your time spent in prayer. It's preparation for promotion. The prayers with Daniel. Enjoy the promotion he enjoys. Daniel made requests to the king. He appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon. And Daniel was in the king's court. Isn't it a wonderful story? Don't you love God's word? I could just come and just read and we can go home. Just read the text. I just love the scriptures. Who loves the Bible? Who's ready for, everyone say, ascendancy? Please remember, I want your spirit senses now to be attuned. Please, church, I beg you, in Christ. Now is not the time for impurity. Starve yourself so that what desires to feed you cannot control you. Have the ideal context for the God of heaven now to give you solutions to perplexing issues that leading influential people in your world do not have answers to. Again, I can't get away from this impression. God's going to give you Daniel's answers. You're going to have the capacity to decode mysteries. Believe you can. Tell your neighbor you can. Believe you can. This is your portion. Don't say this was John the Revelator. This is Daniel's. No, this is your portion. God wants to speak to you in the nighttime. Give you answers. Give you heaven's solutions to earth's problems. Amen. Let's stand. Lift your hands to him. This teaching did not go the way I intended, but I realize it's God's doing. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for us all. I sense a shift in the atmosphere over this house. I sense a new passion and priority for the kingdom, which will have no end. Can we sing that from C? Maybe the worship team, you want to join? Do we have the words there, Dean? What's the song title? Jesus, God's righteousness, the kingdom will have. Let's just enter the sing this once and enter into the anointing. And get into the power of what God or what Daniel saw. I'll use this mic here, Jody.
The Son of Man, the Son of God, his kingdom come. Jesus, God's holiness. Now glorified,
now justified. our hands, and His kingdom will have no end.
And His kingdom will have no end.
His glory
and its glory shall know no bounds.
For the majesty and power of this kingdom He has come. Come on, let's declare it, church. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We exalt you. We magnify you, God. Oh, we bless you. We worship you. We adore you. Come on, lift your voice and magnify him. Come on, this is the kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It will never end. It'll become a great mountain. It will destroy every kingdom, every system. Will bow to the authority of the kingdom power, kingdom authority. I sense it so strongly here, saints, this morning. I didn't pray after this. I didn't envision the service going this way. All I know is God is wanting to imbue you with kingdom power. There's an authority that is not submitted dependent upon earthly systems. It's the authority, it's the government of God from the heavens that comes upon this house now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, oh God, that each one will know kingdom power, kingdom solutions, kingdom favor. The governance of God be our portion. We will not shrink back or bow our flesh to systems that are designed to incarcerate and torment us, but we stand like a Daniel in our environments to receive revelations from the heaven for perplexing issues of the earth. I know, God, speak to us your mind in coming days, weeks, and months. Reveal to us mysteries. Reveal encoded stuff. Break seals and open to us sight into an arenas not yet seen before, Father. I bless this house with sight. Most importantly, dear Father, I ask, keep us pure. Keep this house unstained. Keep us unpolluted. May all flesh dissipate at the presence of the Lord. Keep our minds clean, our motives honorable, our desires pure before you. If any of us have sinned in this respect, I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you. Indeed, you are God of great mercy and great compassion, like Daniel said. In your mercy and in your great kindness and compassion, forgive us if we have sinned in any way. We receive now your love, your forgiveness, and we commit and resolve, like Daniel did in his heart, not to defile ourselves. Dilute the anointing and capacity that you've encoded within us to engage you at a higher level of living. Father, also, I pray, oh God, like Daniel had this desire, that Arioch not destroy the other magicians. I pray that we would arise so that others will be saved. I pray that in our world we will arise so that others will not be come to a place called demise. Pray, oh God, that we will ascend, that others might not descend. Give us a heart for other people. Help our love to grow far more wider than it presently exists. For when you see a heart of compassion like you did in Daniel, and you see such humility and care for others, I pray, oh God, that you will give this house a new burden for the lost, a new burden for other people. Help us not to be individualistic, self-centered, but other people-minded. Now ask, oh God, that grant to us promotion. Come on, lift those hands again. I speak promotion, ascendancy. Ascendancy over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that this will become a reality. In blessing, you will bless. In multiplying, you will multiply your servants. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I bless you. Amen. Amen.